It's time to fire it up.
Why you gotta make me feel inferior? Because I'm on the grill, B.
From the chow.
Food for action.
To the gear.
It's 122,000 BTUs of char broiling power.
To the drinks.
Drink some beers.
These guys have you covered.
We're just kicking back out here. Just having a barbecue.
This is the Grilling Guys.
Welcome. You're listening to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we got through that holiday weekend last weekend, and we're moving into the fall season. Tailgate's coming, but we're going to hold that off to another day. But I'm Jop, and he's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
Hey, let's just change the show. Let's do tailgating instead.
All right, yeah.
Hey, howdy. Welcome. And it is the Grilling Guys. We're on Jethro, country with a twist. So we're happy to be in all of their stations, plus all of our other affiliates around Michigan. And, of course, if you're downloading the show from the grillingguys.com podcast app, wherever you are, and we know based on the Google demographics or whatever you call the numbers they give us, you're all over the world, and we're so thrilled that you're bothering to listen. There used to be a bunch in Afghanistan listening, but hopefully you're all out of there now. So
right, exactly.
If we left you behind, send me a private message.
Yeah.
We'll come get you.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll take the grilling one over there.
Yeah, well, speaking of Afghanistan, we're on the other end of this thing. Coming up today is the official 20th anniversary of that tragic day, 9/11, when our country was attacked, and which was the reason of that war that we began over there in 20 years. And I guess I've got mixed feelings. I'm okay that we're out of there, but I'm just gut-wrenched on how it all happened. So we'll talk a little bit about that, I'm sure, because Barbecue Bob's got probably some more deeper feelings than I just shared. But anyway, at the end of the day, we're going to be talking about fall grilling for the most part today. And with that comes some fall cleaning, I think, that you got to do. Because
that's,
I know,
right.
my grill has been on 4 to 5, 6 days a week since probably April, you know, because when the weather breaks and it's good for me to stand outside, even when it's not, because I do it year round. But I think we all grill a little bit more in the summer, don't you?
I guess.
Yeah.
It's less and less of a difference anymore.
Yeah.
It has been for a long time for some of us, but I think for America, North America in general, it seems to be a narrower and narrower gap, and I'm just thrilled about that. I'm so happy people choose the grill instead of the oven. But if you do, you choose an oven, make sure you choose it from Garrett's Appliance.
Right, yeah. But if you
shameless
are, and so what I meant by it's time for some fall cleaning is I'm pretty much a fanatic to keep my grill clean, and I'll be very frank with you that I've let it go for probably the last 3 weeks without doing it, and I bet I've done, in 3 weeks, I bet I've done at least a dozen cooks of certain kinds. Did some brats last night that had cheese in them, right? They were a chicken brat.
That's a mess.
Yeah, it was, because they get to a certain temperature and then they start spewing.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's all over my grill. So I know that today after the show, I'm going to be taking that tech apart and taking it right down to the, as far as I can get it, clean it up and then put it back together so I'm ready for the fall and winter. But I do that a couple times
You're
a year.
Really good about that.
I have to do it a couple times
my
a year.
My tech, I tore it apart this summer because I got a bad burner, which I now have to put in. And it's third down the list. But it was so filthy.
Oh, yeah.
I hadn't torn that apart in 3 or 4 years because I got a bigger one. And it's
right.
Not like yours. It's really hard to take apart.
Right.
I'm glad I took it apart because I realized that... I found, you know, you always find easier ways to do things.
Right.
Like setting up that big expedition tent.
Yeah.
The next time it's going to be way easier.
Had a little dose of that last weekend, didn't you?
Yes, yeah. And I'm going to do it again. But so fall cleaning, yeah. I noticed that I've been cleaning up on some poison ivy, and it's on my legs right now. So I thought I made it through the whole summer without getting poison ivy, and son of a gun.
Yeah.
You know what I discovered?
What's that?
I didn't.
Oh, it still itches when
you
get it?
Oh, we got a bunch of it up at the hunting property.
Oh, man.
And I snuck in there with sandals and shorts. And I've never run into poison ivy there, but where I placed my trail cam, I looked down and it's like, oh, my gosh, I walked right into it.
Yeah, wading through it, huh?
Yes.
Yeah.
So cleaning up the grill is a good idea. And, you know, in particular, let's go gas.
Right, which is what those techs were.
Yep.
If you're new to the show... we have several different types of grills that Barbecue Bob and I have, and we have a few of them that are the same. And Bob used to be a representative, a manufacturer's rep for this company called Tech, and we both have one of those grills, and it's an infrared grill, and they're amazing. And we'll talk about that another time, but
I like yours better than mine.
Well, yeah, mine is portable. Yours is installed, and I have to agree with you. I like mine better as well because I take it a lot of places and I cook with it for a lot of different people, and it travels really well.
Well, the burner assembly on yours is easy to clean.
Right,
mine's the new design, and the old boy that designed it he overthought it.
Yeah.
But regardless, let's say you're the average guy, and if you're lucky, you got yourself a nice Weber.
Right.
Okay, yep. Those have what we call flavor bars. Other guys, you name it, they call them flame guards or heat deflectors or whatever. But it's a metal pan that sits over your ribbon style burner,
right?
And
it's kind of like a teepee. It's a 90 degree
or curved, they're all a little different.
Right.
But there's metal that sits over top of the ribbon type burners or U shaped burners. And then there's briquettes that sit on your other gas grill. Do you have that hooked up?
I don't. I gave that to my son. He bought a new home, so that one went over on his deck.
You're the best stepfather
Fun because, speaking of cleaning, I tore it right down to the basics, went and bought a new burner for him.
Did you paint it, too? But,
no, I did not paint it.
Okay, good.
But I don't like painting grills. The one, most of it had come off on the inside already, and that's exactly the
you
way I wanted
it. You never paint the inside.
Right. Yeah, so, but I rebuilt it for him before I took it over there. It didn't look brand new, but it ran like it was brand new, and it'll get him years of, no more than he grills, it'll get him.
What kind was that?
It was Broil King.
Yes.
Is what it was, and it's a lifetime warranty
grill.
Made
in Illinois.
Right.
Rockford, Illinois.
Yep, and it's a lifetime warranty grill. You'll find that listening to the grilling guys, when we talk about equipment, we generally don't buy foreign stuff, and we generally buy the best equipment that we can afford.
And we never buy China grills.
Right. Yeah.
No to China.
Right. But anyway, so cleaning that thing up, tear it down as far as you can. If it's the first time you're doing it, have a piece of paper and a pen there or a pencil and write down the steps that you took to undo it, because the worst thing you can have is putting pieces back together and there's one left when you're done.
Well, let me step you up to 2021.
Okay.
Just take a few pictures with your phone.
Well, there you
That's
go.
Even
we
easier.
Could do that, too. We could do that, too.
Yeah, so use a cleaning brush, clean your burner tubes and ports, rust and debris. If you've got burner tubes, you're going to notice that a big old machine punched a bunch of little slots in it for your flame, for your gas to come out. Just make sure you brush those, tap them, you know, be easy on it because it might be rusty, and get all the junk out of there. And then if you have an air compressor, blow them out.
Yeah. Put some eye protection on if you do use that air compressor.
For crying
because,
out loud,
well,
Mom.
No, I'm telling you, I did it, and I ended up wearing it because those little particles of rust and everything that's crusty down in there, you put 250 PSI on that, she's flying, baby.
Okay.
She's coming up in your face.
Well, thank you for that tip. Thank you. Okay, chip away any debris on the sides, on the bottom.
See?
There's usually a pan on the bottom, and that baby's going to have some grease and some yucky stuff in it. It's going to be weird color. It's going to smell like, yeah.
Right.
So don't eat it.
Right. Don't eat it.
It's not good to fry your eggs in.
Yeah, and make sure you don't get it where the dog can get at it either.
He'll get it.
Yeah, they will.
Make sure you inspect all the hoses. Get some dish soap and water, and turn your gas on. Make sure everything's pressurized, and put that soapy water over your gas lines. You've all done leak checks on your inner tubes. Same thing. Look for bubbles on that tube that goes from your regulator back to the burner and from the tank up to the regulator.
Right.
Because any of those can have cracks and leaks. And we're talking about, in most cases, propane.
Right.
Very, very dense fuel. That's the dangerous one. Natural gas, whatever. You can smoke a big old spleef with natural gas.
Right.
You'll be okay. But propane, no.
Right. It's explosive. And you've all turned the gas on with the lid down and then hit the little button and lit the grill. And boom, she goes, man. So, you know, it can be in a bigger, you just don't want that to happen.
Okay,
because it's
I've got one that's really funny. Back when I was selling them, one came in that was marked
natural, and propane, and it was natural, or vice versa?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was marked natural, but it was marked propane, but it was really natural jets in it. So I lit that baby up, and I shut the lid to burn it off.
Yeah.
I came back out in 10 minutes. It was a red blob.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly.
So take a look at that flame.
Yeah.
Learning curves.
So coming up next, we're going to have a little bit of fun. You all know if you've listened to our show before, but we've got a really good friend of the show called the Baritone of Beer. His name is Chaz Thompson, and he's at the UP Beer Fest in Marquette, Michigan. We're going to give him a shout and talk a little bit about Up North Beer. So stick with us. We'll be back.
Sounds good.
This is Job from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
The Grillin' Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard or in Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
And now, back to the Grillin' Guys Show on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Shooting sauce on ribs is what men do. We like meat and no tofu. With me and Chop, it never gets dull. A grill's so big, it's like a ship's hull. Grilling guys, I tell no lies, and do some great things to chicken thighs. When we're at the grill,
welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. Barbecue Bob and I are talking a little bit about fall grilling.
Talking trash!
And if you are new to this show, you will understand that quite often we're grilling with a beverage in our hand, and it becomes a one-hand cook. And the reason is that we both have a big passion for micro-brewed beers.
And
right?
We both only have two hands.
Right,
we're
exactly.
At a disadvantage.
Right. You can set your beer down, but generally I'm not drinking it if I'm setting it down. So
no.
I don't do that much. But anyway...
I know another guy that doesn't set his beer down often, and he's in the UP.
Yeah. All right, man.
His name is Chaz Thompson. What's up, bud?
Hey there.
Hey there.
We're just, you know, setting up Beer Fest.
Oh, how fun.
So Beer Fest, tell us what that's all about, Chaz.
Well, you know, up here in Marquette, the Brewers Guild has finally been able to get past all this COVID stuff, and we're back to having a big old time at a beer festival.
Wow. Tell me about that. That sounds like something that I've missed for the last year and a half, eh?
Oh, yeah. I'm telling you. We got like 82 breweries coming up here. Both UP and Lower Peninsula breweries, all Michigan beer.
What are the dates?
It's Saturday today.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it'll be this afternoon, so we're just finishing up the final things of setting up stuff. The breweries are getting all the stuff going. The boys and I delivered all the kegs out of the trucks there a while ago.
I think you might have been tapping some of those kegs because you don't even know what day it is.
Well, you know, yesterday we had to drink a couple after we got done working on the tent.
Hey, you're pretty close to the Youper hideout, so stop in and say hi to Terry and Lynn and the boys there.
Oh, yeah, sure. I see Dave and Andy right over there in the Black Rocks van.
Nice.
They're waving at me.
Good guys. That's some good beer,
oh,
too.
Oh, yeah.
They're pretty righteous.
So Chaz, a lot of us Flatlanders down here don't know much about the UP breweries. Give us a rundown on, because a lot of their product is probably represented down here, but we're just not familiar with it. Like, we're here in Grand Rapids, and this is, you know, Beer City USA, self-proclaimed or not, it is. And tell us what's going on up there. What have you found that's, like, tasty?
Well, I'll tell you, we went over to Black Rocks the other night and had a really nice double IPA. And those guys didn't burn your head off with too many hops. They just kicked it up to 7.5% alcohol and had a really sturdy hop to balance it out. So you could drink a couple. You didn't want to drink a dozen of them. And I left my truck at the park and was riding with somebody, though.
So maybe there was more than a couple in yours, huh?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, then you got to try a couple of something else.
Right.
Then we went over to the Vierling. Now, if anybody comes to Marquette, the Vierling is the place to go. It's the oldest brewery up here in the UP. And it's right downtown Marquette, and they do excellent whitefish.
Mm.
But they're a brew pub, so you're not going to find that stuff downstate. And old Chutney over there, he's got some great beers on tap. He had an absolutely delightful all-UP pale ale. It's UP hops, UP grain, and, of course, you know, Lake Superior water.
Right.
Down in Grand Rapids, the ones you're going to see are you're going to see Black Rocks. You're going to see some Keweenaw Brewing Company stuff.
KBS.
And, of course, Upper Hand. Those are going to be the three big ones that get distributed downstate.
Nice.
But there's like two dozen breweries in the UP now.
Okay, so tell me, is there anything better than the UP in September?
Let's see.
Caribbean in November. It's beautiful because there's no bugs, and it's dry and 70. I mean, it's just so the skies are usually clear. It's not like West Michigan where it's overcast is clear.
Yeah, we got high scattered clouds. Looking at, you know, sunshine everywhere. I've been thinking about slathering on some of that tanning lotion, you know.
Well, you know the nice thing about Marquette, all the girls are beautiful blonde Scandinavian.
Oh, I'll tell you, we saw a couple down to the pub the other night.
I bet you
that
did.
Was something to turn your head.
You didn't get too close to them, though, did you? You didn't want to get any of that on you.
No, some of them tent boys, they're a little younger. They were sniffing pretty hard.
Yeah,
tent boys.
Yeah. Right. Marking their territory, I'm sure.
That's a fun town. Yeah. So what other breweries have you found in Marquette? By the way, if you just tuned in, you're listening to the Grilling Guys and Dating Service on Jethro FM, Country with a Twist, being produced here by Conrad. We're so lucky. And if you don't know who Chaz Thompson is, he's the original brewer from Schmoe's Brewing Company. And I'll tell you what, I've got some of those nice IPAs, some Schmoe's. Now I can't think of the name of it. Tell me what your heavy IPA is.
Hop Knocker.
I got some Hop Knockers in the fridge knocker right now.
Sounds like he saw some of those up in the UP last night too, right?
No, those are hot.
We saw some things. And then I was in Calumet the other night, and boy, I saw some sights there too.
Yeah, yeah. Well, all right. That's good, Chaz. But, hey, do they grill up there in the UP?
They grill. I was grilling the other night. I made the most excellent cheesecake chicken. That was awesome. And then one night I made burgers, you know, just keeping it classy.
Cheesecake
gotta
chicken. You got to give me a little hint on that one. That sounds like dessert and your main course all in one.
Cheesecake chicken is a sweet and spicy rub that we developed a few years back for that little cook-off we had over at Puck Putts. You remember that one?
You guys did wings
and we did chicken thighs?
Somebody brought a bunch of cheesecakes there, too, if I remember right.
Yeah. Oh, Cheesecake Jake did.
Yeah.
He's the one that came up with the recipe. So since it was like sweet and spicy, we were like, oh, this is like a great savory cheesecake.
Oh.
So we've been making that, and I got some friends that I stay with up there by Calumet out the Boston location. And they got hooked on the stuff. So every time I come to town, I got to resupply them with rub, mix up some rub, and get everything going. And so we enjoyed those the other night.
Yeah, that sounds good. Are you driving fence posts right now? Is that what I'm hearing?
Oh, we got the fire department guys. They're working for a charity, driving fence posts, fixing up the last couple of pieces before we open up.
All right.
Oh, you got the snow fence up to keep all the sneaks out.
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, yeah. You know, it's only $50 to come into these festivals. And for $50, you know, 82 breweries, 465 different beers.
Wow.
72 different styles are represented with those beers.
Man.
It's like touring the entire state in one party.
I can't believe I still haven't been to that.
And for your $50, you might get a beer or two, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, just starting out, they give you 15 tokens for samples. And they keep it classy by only doing the 3-ounce pour. So that way you can taste a lot of different beers.
Right.
I mean, this isn't a get sideways thing, although some people do.
Right.
It's more about the experience of getting to visit with all these different brewers, see what they're proud of that they brought to the festival.
And they've got some guys with some wheelbarrows to help you out if you need a little help getting to your car.
Right.
Well, I drive the telehandler, so I can scoop them up.
Oh, that's right. You got a big old forklift, so you can put one on each fork and get them back right where they need to be. Huh?
In the case you run into a girl.
Oh, yeah, to give me the one with the telescoping boom.
Oh, really? Oh, you got a boom, so you can just hook right onto their shirt, neck of their shirt, and just lift them up and take them where they go. Right, yeah.
Oh, yeah, belt loop them away.
All right. Well, hey, Chaz,
we're having a great time. I hope you guys are, too. And, hey, you know, we're going to do this again the end of October in Detroit.
Okay.
And then the end of February, we're going to be back to Grand Rapids out in the snow.
Well, give us an invite. We'll bring the Jethro crew down.
Yeah, it's the way to be. And, you know, Grand Rapids is missing the beer fest. This pandemic winding down, I hope. So.
Okay, we're out of time, brother.
Keep the faith, fellas.
All right, you too, Chaz. Thanks for making time. Enjoy yourself. Be safe up there.
See you, Chaz.
All right, see ya.
All right, coming up next, nothing goes better with the fall than chops and apples. Stick with us. We'll be back.
Hey, guys. Schmoes now has two locations, 2600 Patterson here in Grand Rapids and 109 West Mitchell in Petoskey now. So when you're up north, you can grab some Schmoes as well. Remember, you can get all your favorites, Bone Crusher, Hop Knocker, Treasure Chest, Amber Tees, Michigan Hands Pale Ale, and India Pale Ale, or one of our great root beers. Once again, that's Grand Rapids and Petoskey, engineering better Michigan beer.
We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen. Satisfaction's been our aim since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it, Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
I am a guy and I like fire.
The Grillin' Guys on 107.3 WBBL-FM.
Welcome back. You listen to the Grillin' Guys on the Grillin' Guys Talk Network. And we're live on Jethro FM, country with a twist and a little bit of grilling going along with it. That's 94.9 that you're listening to, 99.5 in Lowell, and everywhere else in the world that you can hear us. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's next, baby?
I think some smoky country is what's next. We're gonna smoke it up on some country.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good.
Pork chops on the grill with some apple. So here's the cool thing. Pork chops, you know, we love pork. Everybody loves pork chops. Who doesn't love pork chops? I know a Muslim guy that loves pork chops.
Right?
Yeah,
yep.
He does. Bacon, too. So everybody loves that stuff. Grilled pork chops, bone in, inch to inch and a half thick cut.
That's the piece right there you got to listen to, that inch to inch and a half. The stuff you get at the big box stores are going to be a half inch, and they dry out, and you might want to drop them and you know, see if you can score
Don't
a goal
do it.
With it.
Yeah, no. Go to your butcher.
It's all they're worth.
Go to Sobey Meats. It's just too easy. Have them cut them for you. And then get you some nice apples. And I'm not talking about these Granny Smiths for a pie. I'm talking about like a beautiful, whatever your favorite apple is. Not too sweet, although, I don't know, maybe something you get a deal on. Because everything's crazy expensive right now. So you slice those apples right into rings. And you can take the center out if you want, but you don't have to. Just about, I'm going to say half inch thick.
Okay.
And you brush just a touch of butter on them and maybe a touch of salt or sugar. I would do salt.
Sweet
just
and savory.
A touch of salt and throw them on the grill. Get some nice grill marks.
Okay.
Finish your pork chop off with those. Apples and pork chops are fantastic together.
So you're going to core it to get the seeds and the core out of that little
maybe,
ring.
Maybe, maybe not.
And then you put butter on it and a little salt, and you're grilling the piece of apple while you're grilling the pork chop. Not on it, but beside it.
Yep.
Right? And how do I know when the apple's done?
I'm probably going to grill the apple when I'm done with my pork chop.
Okay.
Because I want that thing to rest for 10 minutes. The apple will take about 3 minutes.
Okay.
You're going to take a minute on each side.
Because you're about, what, quarter inch
half
thick?
Inch
half
thick.
Inch.
Yep.
Okay.
And you're going to make like an apple steak, and you're going to put one on each pork chop. And you don't need to do anything else. You can put a chutney on if you want, but you want to taste the pork chop.
And
you
apple.
Want to taste the apple.
Right. Yep. kind of cool.
They're
well, that's an easy little recipe.
It's really simple.
And you can probably use any rub you'd like on that pork chop, but probably something that's a little sugar-based.
Yeah, like salt and pepper.
Yeah, would be good as well. But, you know.
No, you're going to get your sugar out of the apple. You don't even need a sugar-based rub. I'm telling you, salt and pepper on a pork chop is always good. Always has been. Just like a steak.
Right.
You don't have to get fancy. That's your problem, Jop. You're just too fancy.
Well, you know, look at me. It's a good thing we're on the radio, you know, just because.
Because he fancy.
Because he fancy. Yeah. Just talked to the guy from the UP. That was crazy. But
that's
anyway.
A country song, isn't it, right. Conrad? Fancy was her name? Yeah.
So last weekend, I went up to the UP, and we went salmon fishing and got blanked. And so we went to the market, and we bought a salmon.
You didn't catch a salmon?
We did not.
In that whole big lake?
Right. There was a lot of them out there. I'm sure we marked a bunch of them, but none of them came our way. So we made some cedar plank salmon. But what I did is I took a recipe and put a little glaze on it with I took some ginger, freshly ground salt and pepper, and a little bit of coriander, and some maple syrup. And I put all that together and made syrup is thick. And it was a little bit of a thick glaze. I put that on the salmon about the last 5 minutes that it was on the plank. So I soaked the cedar plank, put the salmon on there, skin side down, and then put it on the grill, on a medium-high grill, so that it burns the bottom of that plank a little bit. Get it smoking so you get the smoky flavor of the cedar in there. And in about the last 5 minutes, I put that glaze over the top of it and just let it get hot enough so it got tackier than it already was with the maple syrup. But the fans went crazy on that. We had six of us for dinner and maybe like a 16-inch filet. It was perfect, the right amount. The guys got a little more than the gals, and it was really good. But super easy glaze. And the maple syrup is a home run on fish. But, you know, you put a little coriander in there, again, salt and pepper, and then the ginger gave it a great flavor.
And what type of filet was it?
It was just a
salmon.
Salmon, yep, just a red, you know, pink salmon.
Like my shorts.
Filet. No, not quite that nasty, but it was a good color. Yeah.
Well, they're faded.
Right. No, but anyway, so easy to do, and lots of salmon this time of year. Last week, my buddy Charlie Slosher sent me a picture from at daybreak. The sun's just coming up over the horizon, and he's standing there with a big king that he had caught out on the lake. I thought that was a great day at work, right? Because it was middle of the week, but he went out, took a fishing trip, took a mental health day, and went out there. So this is salmon time of year. They're in. They're running. We just didn't get any, so we improvised. But you're going to like to do that. What else is good fall grilling, Bob?
I'm just looking on my phone here. I called our friend from Allen Bob's. I'm heading out for some salmon and steelhead on Lake Michigan next week. And if you do like fishing on the big lake, Allen Bob's has just made a big surge towards more supplies for deep water fishing. And, you know, if you live in Michigan, you're so lucky because you've got Lake Huron, Lake Erie, Lake Superior, and Lake Michigan. Up where Chaz is,
right.
That whitefish, it's unbelievable.
Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful.
I think it's probably the best fish in the world.
So mild,
I love mahi-mahi. Whitefish beats mahi-mahi.
Yeah, when I was up there last weekend, we were over in Cedarville, which is toward the east end of the UP, right on Lake Huron. And
you caught what?
But we a buzz, nothing else. But we went to a bar on on an afternoon for lunch. And I ordered a whitefish sandwich. And, you know, it was so lightly breaded and just quick flash fried.
Yeah.
And, oh, man, it was just wonderful. They made it into a Reuben. And it hit, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it was good, man. It was really
good. Like sauerkraut?
Yeah,
Thousand
right.
Island?
Yep.
Wow.
And Swiss cheese.
Awesome.
It was good.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm so hungry.
It was really good.
The only thing better than whitefish is something up in Alaska that they call the mother-in-law fish.
Yeah?
Yeah. And it's so stinking good. It's one of the rockfish. They call them rockfish. And I caught one, and the guy goes, oh, you got a mother-in-law fish. And I looked at it. It was absolutely the ugliest cartoon-looking fish you ever saw in your life.
Yeah.
But that thing ate so well.
Right.
And they're better than, everybody goes up to Alaska thinking that they're going to catch
halibut. And king crab.
And halibut. I mean, halibut's pretty good.
Right.
It's really good. But, I mean, the rock bass, the rockfish and stuff up there.
Yeah.
Smoke it.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about a lamb burger. That's something that probably a lot of people don't do.
Yeah, it's a great idea, and your butcher can do it for you.
Yeah.
And if you know, like, you know, I work with some Middle Eastern guys, and I love lamb. My wife's half Lebanese, and I've just gotten to really appreciate lamb. However, her father taught me how to make shish kebabs, right? Except to use steak. He was Lebanese, but he liked steak. He's, yeah, I don't really care for lamb, Bob. I was like, yeah. Okay, fine. You're the Lebanese guy here. But I do like it. Because why? Because I'm a grilling guy. And
right.
I'm a pig. And I like to eat anything that won't eat me first.
Right. So what are you talking about? I see on the show plan here, I'm looking at this thing called grilled cheese with a question mark, and then you wrote Aldi's down. Aldi's is a store? Is that what you're talking about?
You like the grilling cheese, the cheese lady, right?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay.
You can go to Aldi's and get that grilling cheese.
So what that is
for
is
much less money.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. the cheese lady is a little store that is here in Grand Rapids, and they have hundreds of cheeses in the store. It's a
Conrad's
wonderful place to go.
Conrad's shaking his head. He's obviously been there.
Yep.
But, you know the cheese lady?
Yeah.
Do you know the muffin man?
Right.
Yeah. And there's one muffin in Muskegon.
Man.
One
right. Oh, is there the cheese lady? Yeah. Well, the cheese lady I know is in Grand Rapids. But
she lives
anyway,
on Drury Lane.
Right. But anyway, this grilling cheese is a high temperature
fabulous
cheese that you put right on the grill and grill it like a burger, and it softens, but it doesn't run. And it is wunderbar. Just a wonderful flavor. They got two or three flavors of it, but you can't go wrong with any of them. Who doesn't like hot cheese?
Oh.
Right? I mean, it's just wonderful.
If you go down to Greek Town in Detroit.
Yeah.
And you get the Saganaki?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep. Do you have to wear a mask so you don't get that, or do you, it's okay then, right?
No, it's the flaming cheese they bring to your table.
Oh, yeah.
And they go, oopa.
Yeah, right.
You've had it before, haven't you?
I have. And don't they bring the...
Don't they light it right in front of your face?
Yeah, but
there's
a liquor on
there,
right? There's a liquor on there that lights on fire. That's what it is.
Pure grain alcohol.
Ouzo. That's what I'm looking for. Ouzo is on there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it is. Anyway. All right, let's reel this back in.
You're just as Greek as...
Coming up next, we're going to bring this train to the station. Wild turkey, bourbon grilled chops. I might even have another recipe for you, too. But stick with us. We'll be back.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats, as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, in our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
With the grilling guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mitful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So
welcome back. You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We're live from the Jethro Country with a Twist Studios, our new home.
Jethro FM, that is.
That's right. We're so glad to be here. Conrad is our new producer. He is a radio legend and has agreed to drag us along and try to
make radio guys out of us.
Right, yeah. I think he's got his work cut out for him, that's for sure. But anyway, we're pleased to be here, and we're glad you're listening. And if this is one of the first times you ever heard us, just be patient. It'll get better.
Yeah.
Right?
You know what, Job?
What's that?
I don't think we've ever done a show where it felt so right as it does here.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
It's not only because of the studio, but we're sitting with Conrad.
Right.
And he's such a cool breeze. And, I mean, he's got such a history in radio. We're like Jon Snow. We know nothing.
Right.
right? This guy's been around for the radio business since Greg Moshiri.
Right.
So he went to college with Greg Moshiri.
Wow. Did they have college back then, or was it just 13th grade?
They parked their horses right next to each other.
Yeah. Tied them up, got off, said, my turn or your turn
to
scoop.
Anyway, right. We do love being here at Jethro, and we're happy that everybody listens. And sorry for babbling on, waxing about this poetically. Wild turkey on the grill.
Fall, you can grab a permit.
I drink wild turkey even if I'm not at the grill.
That's right. Yeah, mine comes in a glass, not on feet. But anyway, you know, this is the season. There's the fall turkey season. Bob and I are both hunters. Bob probably a little more avid than I am.
Poachers,
but I am no poach. That just means he cooks it underwater. That's what he's poaching. The DNR, stay home. We hasn't poached a thing.
They don't know
But anyway, the wild turkey. If you get one of those. I'm saying breast it out, and the rest is kind of just like not worth it. They spend a lot of time running around. The butter ball that you
get. Yeah, but it still has a back.
I understand, but there's no meat on a turkey
thighs.
Back.
You don't need to eat the drumsticks.
I understand.
It's got some strong thighs.
Right,
dude.
Exactly. They're strong.
So pluck it and spatchcock that baby and throw it on the grill and do it upright. Don't be stripping it.
Okay, so then if you're going to do that, you got to tell them what spatchcocking is, because this audience might not know.
Well, first I want to know how you get the feathers off.
Right? Well, I put it in not boiling, but very hot water.
Ding, ding, ding.
And it loosens them up, and then you can pull them off. It's a mess. It's an absolute
mess.
Could
you use your air compressor like you did the grill?
No, that's just cleaning the grill.
Or a sandblaster?
But where I'm going is that hot water loosens up all the feathers, and you can pull them out. It's a mess. But why bother with that? The reason is that you want the skin on the turkey because it's going to seal in the moisture. That wild turkey does not have a lot of fat like your butter ball does. So
so here's what you do is you take some little pads of butter and you slide it up in under the skin.
Yes, sir.
And you season both sides and you spatchcock it, which means you cut the backbone out so you make it just like a politician.
Right.
And you put it on your grill, no spine.
Mm-hmm. With the open cavity down to start.
And your butter up under the skin, up on top. It melts through it. You can throw a little bacon on it. You can do whatever you want.
But what you're doing is you're adding moisture to the bird when you're cooking it with the butter or the bacon.
And what temperature do we bring that to if it's turkey?
An internal. I'm going to go to 170, 175.
Except
what?
It's a wild turkey.
Right. So it doesn't
have to go that high.
But
no. Doesn't have all the crap that the factory turkeys have.
Right.
You can bring that baby up to whatever you want.
Right.
I would do 145, 150. You're good.
Yep. I just don't like cutting it away from the bone and having it being bloody.
It's going to be.
Yeah. It's going to be? Yeah. It won't be. It's going to be. Yeah, I heard you.
It's wild turkey. It's going to be a little redder.
Right.
You do goose.
Right.
What do you bring your goose up to?
The trash can.
No, what do you?
I don't really like goose that well.
Come on,
but
you've shot more goose
jerky
than I have.
You've never shot one. No, I'm kidding. But,
no, I haven't.
But it's I'm not a goose guy.
You shot one.
I've shot more than one, but I've tried multiple times to make it taste like something, and the best thing I've ever done with a goose is made stroganoff out of it.
Well, you've dated one once.
Yeah, but it's a. It's one of those things where there's a lot better things to eat in the world than a goose, in my opinion. Turkey's good. Goose, not so much. Really dark, strong-flavored meat. Not my gig. But it is fall. We got duck season. We got goose season.
See, I got a guy
season.
I work with. His name is John Rich.
Yeah?
He used to own Great Lakes Planks. Remember those cedar planks that we used to buy?
Mm-hmm.
John Rich, he was on our show. And John would tell you that goose is really tasty.
Well, then John knows how to cook it because I can't figure
it out.
I
bet he does. And you know what he likes to do?
What?
Sous vide.
Yeah. Well, there you are. That's almost.
That's his girlfriend's name.
That's almost like poaching, right? Yeah. Right. She's an Italian girl, right? But anyway, so let's enough of this nonsense. Let's talk a little bit about the nonsense.
About keep it up.
You've got a bourbon grilled chop or chicken. So go with chicken because we've covered a few chop recipes.
Yeah. This bourbon recipe is really simple. Okay, what you're going to do is marinate. I'm going to probably say, to be safe and to be totally hip, you're going to go with skinless, boneless, or bone-in chicken thighs.
Right.
We love grilling chicken thighs. They're forgiving. And when we grill,
and it's the best tasting part of the chicken.
Sometimes we have friends over. Sometimes we're in, you know, having fun and not paying attention, you know, being stupid, watching the kids, playing volleyball, all that stuff. I got a party tomorrow. We'll be doing all that at my house. Cup of bourbon, cup of brown sugar, a cup of Old World Olive Company's garlic EVO.
Ooh.
And one cup of cheap yellow mustard and a half a cup of Worcestershire. This calls for a cup, but it's too much. Trust me. Don't okay. do it.
So you got equal you parts combine of bourbon, them all together. Brown sugar, garlic oil, regular yellow mustard, and a half a cup of Worcestershire.
Easy for you to say.
Not really.
Yep. So that's all you need.
Blend so that's it a
together,
marinade.
Blend it together. Throw that Yardbird in there for 12 hours.
Okay.
Minimum, if they're thighs.
All right.
If they're breasts, you can get by with six.
And because this is a marinade, you can get the cheapest bourbon on the shelf.
Absolutely.
Because you don't want to waste your good
Heavenly
stuff on
Hill.
This. Right. Something.
Yep.
Whatever you want.
Whatever your cheap brother-in-law leaves at your house. That's my rule.
Well, at least your brother-in-law brings it. Right? I got one so cheap he doesn't bring anything. He's like, what you got to drink when he walks in the door? Right?
We all have one of those.
Right, yeah.
We call him Bruce.
Right. So anyway, you're marinating this for 12 hours. You're going to pull it out. Do you rinse it off?
No.
Right, exactly.
Heavenly.
Right.
Heavenly,
and so if you have that marinade, do not be tempted to make a dipping sauce out of it. It had raw chicken in it. That's not what you want to put on your cooked food. If you thought this would be a good dipping sauce, then make another batch of it or reserve part of the batch that you made.
Don't be Bruce.
Right. And keep all marinades on chicken and poultry of any kind. Do not reuse it. It goes in the trash once you pull the chicken out to put it on the grill. Beef, you can use some of the beef marinade if you wanted to. It's not the same, but the poultry is not good, but neither one are really good. Make a separate batch or reserve part of the batch that you make and don't use it for the marinade of the meat and just use it for the sauce.
That's right. Char-grilled vegetable salad.
Ooh.
This is a cool thing that you can do this time of year. I mean, the supermarkets are getting bare. By the way, did I mention stock up right now? Because I was just at the supermarket. It's everything I predicted. So those of you naysayers out there that say, nah, we're not going to have shortages. We're going to have shortages. Everybody's warning us. Pay attention. But where you won't get a shortage is at your local vegetable stand.
Right.
That guy doesn't
Great
even
time
know.
Of year this time of year.
That guy doesn't even know that the globalists are trying to take over the world.
Right.
He's just there as his little farm. And
growing
if
farm.
You can get potatoes, I just heard this, there's a huge potato shortage. If your local farmer has potatoes, get them.
Keep them downstairs.
Hoard them.
Keep them downstairs in a dark room. They won't sprout.
Buy another refrigerator.
You can have them all winter long, man. And they work good. Any of those root vegetables like that, just keep them in a cool, dark place.
Yep.
And they'll be wonderful the whole year long.
Bring them to the show. It's a cool, dark place.
Right.
Anyway, grilled vegetable salad, onion slices, peppers, mushrooms. You cut them thick. You put a little bit of Old World Olive Company butter EVO on them.
Okay.
I think it'd be really nice. And then little crushed pepper and salt.
Right.
Bang. Throw them on the grill. Get some nice grill marks. Get them halfway cooked. And then just throw them all in a bowl.
Tip there is to use a grilling basket if you have one.
Yes, if you have one.
Because then they won't fall through the grates down into the...
If you
the
don't have one, go to...
Tinfoil.
Garrett's Ding Dong.
Oh, well, I go to Tinfoil.
Yes, we are sponsored by Tinfoil.
No.
Hey, thanks for joining us. It's The Grillin' Guys. TheGrillinGuys.com is where you can find us. You can get the podcast there. You can get all of our old recipes. We're a 12-year-old show. We've been around for a while. You can tell we're geezers, but it's The grillinguys.com. Pardon. So happy you joined us. Produced by Conrad and Jop.
All right. We appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We'll be back next week, so tune in. Thanks for listening.